This episode is brought to you by Canadip CBD, a great-tasting, superior alternative to traditional dip using CBD in a way that is radical, enjoyable, and effective. All flavor, no tobacco, and no nicotine pouches are spit-free. It comes in 5 core flavors, wintergreen, mint, citrus, mango, and American spice. It's crafted and manufactured in California, the heart of the cannabis industry. You can find the link to get 20% off in the description of this show.
The Pesky Report is sponsored by High and Happy Catering out of Springfield, Massachusetts. Their chef, Michael Best, can cook anything you want with or without being infused with cannabis. Check out some of what they make on their Instagram at High and Happy Catering or call them at 413-785-8999. You'll be happy you did.
Welcome to the Pesky Report, a podcast for Red Sox fans.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages. Sports proudly brings to you its podcast, Champions of the World, the biggest Red Sox fan in Iowa, Hogdale. The Ed, keeping it real in 100, Ed Hand. I messed that one up. The president of the Rich Hill Fan Club, Brad Chandler, and I am Brandon Brewer, and this is the Pesky Report. And if you're not down with that, we got two words for you.
Getting
better.
Red Sox. Buy stocks. That's my two words for you.
Red Sox are getting better, guys. They actually won a series. You know, happen whenever the Red Sox go to Texas.
They've won 3 of 5.
They've won 3 of 5. That's, you know, ever since the beard, we have seen an upward trajectory of this team.
They are now over 500 since Cora has shaved his beard.
Huge development.
Still not over 500 on the season. Not even 500 home or away right now, but they are playing much better, and that's all we can ask for right now.
Do you see the post that I made earlier today? Like, I had a feeling they were going to end up losing today. They're 4 and before today, they were 4-11 in day games. Now they're 4-12.
Yeah, they have not been good in getaway games this year. They have not been good at day games. They have not been good wearing, you know, every uniform other than the yellows. So
I don't get it. Like, if they come back tomorrow and they're wearing the yellow uniforms, I'm just gonna be like, fuck it, we're winning.
Yeah,
World Series back on. Just wear exactly. This every day, home or away, it doesn't matter. But we are getting better, and at least we didn't get no hit today, like the Pirates. But the Pirates still happened to win a game somehow. So.
I don't know, man. I'd rather get no hit and win than get, like, how many hits did we get today? 7?
Yeah.
And we lost to Martin Perez?
Unable to get the hits when they mattered. We had several opportunities here in Game 3 with runners in scoring position and just couldn't push them across the plate. Had an opportunity to knock Perez out of the game in, like, what, the second or third inning? But, it is what it is.
It was a rough game for Xander Bogaerts there. He had runners in scoring position early a few times, and he just couldn't get them in.
Nope. But let's talk about the games that actually mattered, the ones that we saw that we won, which were great. And that's, of course, the Friday and the Saturday night game. And these two games, the Red Sox threw up tons of runs. The offense finally woke up. Other than the aforementioned Xander Bogaerts, JD Martinez has been on an absolute tear. He's on a 16-game heater. Rafi Devers hits literally everything thrown
at anywhere in his vicinity. It could be 2 inches above the ground. It could be 15 feet above his head. It doesn't matter. He's hitting it. Franchi Cordero has been pretty good since getting called up. So,
isn't he he's hitting what, 241 now?
He's up over about 240. He's drawn a lot of walks. He's very few strikeouts.
He's hitting 233 right now. On base percentage is over 300. His on base percentage is at 351. His OPS is 651. Where's the box? He's 622, and it's not showing me.
He's drawn walks a higher clip than Juan Soto, and that's a real stat.
He had a total of 127 at-bats last year, and he had 8 walks. This year, so far, he's only had 30 at-bats. He's already at 6.
Getting better.
Pretty much Franchi's the GOAT. He's the greatest ball player who's ever lived, and never a doubt.
He's the franchise.
Viva la Franchi.
We'll win that Benny trade in the end. Better believe it.
Yeah, there's been a real difference in his approach where he's just being selective. He's not chasing pitches. And, you know, the batting average isn't amazing right now, but with his bat speed and his ability to really drive the ball, the hits are going to come. The home runs are going to come as long as he can keep that approach up. And, if you know, even if they don't, the walks are really nice. He's having good professional at-bats. I really like what I've seen from him.
Question for you, Ed. Like, okay, so the walks are awesome and whatnot, but when you walk and you have Bobby Dalbec hitting behind you, are they really all that great?
Well, Dalbec's not going to be playing every game Franchi's in, right? Like, he's going to be
right. But he was in left field yesterday.
That was Verdugo.
I get that. But I mean, like, hypothetically, you got the bottom third of the batting order. Granted, yesterday they did good, but you know, you got Vasquez or Plawecki or Bradley Jr. who are hitting behind him. Most of them aren't going to knock him in. I mean, he'll walk, he'll get a walk. That's great, but I know there are some followers out there that were talking about that. What's up?
Are you like trying to subtly make a case for Franchi to be the leadoff hitter? Because that's what I'm hearing.
Yeah. That is not what I'm trying to say.
That's exactly what I think you're trying to say.
A guy that's on base a lot. Actually, strikeouts are a good thing because you're crying.
In fairness, he's doing better than Kike. He's getting on base more.
A guy that's got an OBP of 350 getting on ahead of Rafi Devers and JD Martinez. I kind of like the sounds of that.
Yeah, but do you think – hi, Sapphire. Do you think that they're going to do left to start off like at the top of the order?
That would be the issue, I think, yeah.
Because if they were going to do that, And they're not going to do – I mean, like, then how would you fix that? Would you put, like, a Franchi, then Kike? Like, I want Kike out of the top of the order. There's no need for him there. He needs to go back down.
Maybe Franchi and then Xander, then Devers, Bogarts, or then JD.
Do you think they would
move Bogey up to the two hole?
You think they would do that? Xander to the two hole? I don't think that's. When was the last time he's ever hit second?
I don't even know. I couldn't tell you. But I do know one thing, though, is that the leadoff position for the Boston Red Sox this season has not been that stellar, averaging in the 33 games. So before today's game, the leadoff hitter had a 164 batting average. Yeah, not anything to write home to mama about.
So yeah, black hole pretty much of production. Hey, I've heard this story before. Remember last year? Until Kike finally remembered how to hit. I think that's just pretty much what they're waiting for is for, like, they're like, oh, you know, Kike will remember that he's actually good eventually.
Yeah. I mean, him and Dalbec both looked a bit better this series. Dalbec hit a couple doubles and just seems to be making a little bit better contact. He doesn't look like he's about to crap his pants every time he bats, which is really a nice step in the right direction. Still needs the results still need to get better, and I would need to see it against a team that's better, has better pitching than Texas, because, you know, being able to light up guys like Glenn Otto or whatever his name is, and Garrett Richards and those guys isn't that much of an accomplishment. Dunning's not a bad pitcher, but they really handled him well.
I can't believe you're disrespecting the Texas Rangers when they're pretty much the equivalent to the 90s Atlanta Braves. Like, this team's stacked pitching-wise, man. I mean, unbelievable on your part to shit on them.
The two worst part of the orders are you got the number seven hitter and the leadoff hitter. Number seven is hitting at a 157 clip. And then we got coming in third, 171, batting the person who bats fifth. Not good. And we've got one, two, three, four. We've got four people batting under 200.
Jeez. Pretty much 2-3-4 in the lineup is the only thing that's giving you production. Everyone else is just a non-factor.
Five is doing okay, and believe it or not, the number nine hitters are doing not terrible for a number nine hitter.
Yeah, Jackie's up above 231.
Yeah, 231 for a nine hole. I'll take that. You know, you're getting a little bit of production out of that nine hole, flipping it over. But unfortunately, it's flipping it over to the leadoff guy who's 164. Not necessarily the best scenario right there, especially if there's two outs in an inning. It's a rally killer. You know, we can talk about it all day. Trevor Story has yet to get going. He's hit one home run. Everybody celebrated. Everybody rejoiced. We thought, you know, home runs are going to come in bunches now. We thought by the time he left Texas, he would be like the league leader in home runs, still sitting at one. You know, the confetti, I guess, must have gotten his eye because he's not seeing the ball well at all right now. He struck out a ton in Texas. It's been an issue. Yeah. Brad, it was you that said in the group chat that Xander is actually tied for second with strikeouts. Is that right?
He was tied for second. Let me see if I can't pull that up right now.
And that's kind of surprising because Xander's always been that, you know, real selective with his pitches and is kind of one of those guys that I never really thought of as a strikeout victim. But if he's striking out a lot, I wonder if there's something going on.
Yeah, so bye, Hockdale.
I guess he got upset with my Xander take, huh? Whatever.
Yeah, Xander has struck out with 30 times so far, and Story has struck out a total of 42 times.
Wow.
And Bobby struck out 35 times, so he is now in third on the team. Not fantastic.
Yeah, not that great. But he also is one of the few guys that's hitting at a pretty decent clip. He's hit for power. He's hit for average. So,
yeah. I mean, if you're gonna strike out 30 something times and still hit, I mean, whatever.
Yeah, it's whatever.
You're still over 300.
Yeah, it's just that OBP is taking a little bit of a hit. No worries.
Can we talk about Kevin Mellock?
Blah.
Before we actually talk about like the games, like I didn't get to watch Friday's game, so whatever happened Friday, whatever. But yesterday, Saturday night, when he's sitting there talking to Dave O'Brien, saying, "Hey, we're gonna go get tattoos. You're gonna get a neck tattoo."
Penny doesn't like that.
He's not a fan of tattoos, I guess. But like, I couldn't imagine spending $100 on a fucking haircut. Like,
no,
I just, you know, like they're talking about spending $100, dropping $100, him singing Drake's "Hey Kiki, Don't You Love Me." I was like, shut the fuck up. But it was enjoyable. I enjoyed listening to Mala calling games, telling stories and whatnot. It was kind of fun.
Yeah, I thought Millar did a great job in the booth for his you know, really his first time ever doing it, because he wasn't part of the spring training broadcast crew. So we didn't really know what we were going to get with him. And, you know, him talking about the neck tattoos, he brought him up again during today's game. He went back to the neck tattoo line, and it was fun. He was telling some good stories about, you know, the teams that he played on back in the day, some of the players that we all, you know, kind of grew up watching. And it was fun to hear it all. What did you guys think?
The Manny stories.
For sure.
Yeah.
Like, I did not know that it was Malah. I'm never going to say his name correctly. I didn't know it was him that Manny caught when he ran up the wall and high-fived the fan. That's was his fly ball. Like, robbed him. But, yeah, it was good. Definitely good.
Yeah, I mean, he's been working for the MLB Network for, what, like the last 10 years or longer than
something
that.
Like that. It's been a while.
Yeah. I'm not surprised that he's as polished as he was. Yeah, no, I mean, very charismatic. I think that I enjoy Euclides and Eckersley a little bit more. I like just their cadence.
You call him Euclides?
I enjoy Euclid a little more.
You call them Euclides. I like that.
Wait, how do you pronounce it?
Euclides.
Not Euclides? Yes. Euclides. Huh. It's like when you see something written Kevin and you Euclid's don't
name like that. Like
I pronounced Tanner's house name weird too.
He said Google
for like a full year.
Yeah, but that's understandable because I can see that.
When you said that, I was just like, he's got to be fucking with us saying it like that.
Because like the OU can make the ooh sound. I get that.
Ooh. Yeah, I don't really listen to the commentators that much, so I miss the players' names. I read a lot of box scores, so I'm like, okay, that's
Euclides. Like, this isn't Japan. No, the I isn't pronounced E. What?
Euclides. We're calling them Euclides from now on. Euclides. Hercules.
But, yeah, no, he's probably my third. I like him better than Maz, who hasn't said. None of them have, like, totally sucked. They're all better than O'Brien, but.
Well, they have personality.
Do you think that here's a question? Would you take Maz or O'Brien?
Probably Maz.
Yeah.
O'Brien doesn't, unless he's like Thirsty Dave when he's like Matt Barnes is a nasty boy or like that kind of thing. He's not really. I mean, he doesn't do anything for me, you know. I mean, Thirsty Dave, I'll take over Maz, but
yeah, I mean, it was really crazy when Dave O'Brien that one time. It's like Rafi Devers just laid his entire dick over that ball.
That was
like,
great.
Wait, did he really say that?
No, I completely just made that up.
I was like, wait a minute, where the fuck was I?
It's like that meme where it's like the nice argument, Senator. Why don't you back that up with a source? Like my source is I made it the fuck up.
I would lose my shit. I would call Dave O'Brien the greatest ever if he fucking said that. If he was just Rafi just laid his dick all over that ball.
Dave O'Brien has like the personality of like a piece of white bread. That's his personality. Like I've said it before, I've been more enthusiastic taking a shit than he is during a home run call. Like genuinely. Well,
He actually has had some decent ones this year.
This year he's actually been pretty good, but I think it's because the Sox are so shit that he's actually genuinely surprised. Like when they hit home.
There was a play at shortstop where Xander was deep in the hole, and he threw the batter out, and he was like, "Yes!" And I was just like, "Holy shit!" Was there actual excitement? And I was just like, "Fuck." Dave O'Brien is actually calling this game.
The effects of Adderall on the United States announcer. It's his performance-enhancing drug, dude. But yeah, I mean, as far as Malar, yeah, I thought he was Malah. He was great. Really enjoyed him. A little disgusting. He made that Drake reference when Kendrick just dropped an album, Get With The Time. What are we doing here? But other than that, he was great, though. Fantastic.
Never would have pegged Hogdale as a Kendrick fan, but okay.
Kendrick's my fucking favorite rapper. Like, I've been dying these last 5 years waiting for him to drop.
Hogdale likes getting pegged there, Brandon.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
The show stinks.
We win a series and we have a shitty show. Is that what it is?
That's got to be it. That has to be it. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, no.
Friday night, Pivetta looked pretty good. Starting pitching for the most part in this series, not so bad. Pivetta went seven innings in that Friday night game, only gave up one run. Finally, his ERA is starting to come down to earth. It's still above five, but that's a lot better than, you know, 52 nine. That it was a couple games ago.
The pitching continues to not be an issue, at least for the starters, because he was good. Rich Hill the next day was good. They don't have Michael Walker in the rotation, who had been the best pitcher, in my opinion, there. And it just hasn't been an issue. The starting, and I don't know if it's because the ball's changed. I don't know if they're all just deciding to have career months at the same time, but the starting pitching hasn't been a problem. It's been a pretty serious positive. I like think about how they'd be without that at this point. How many games they would it would be like? It'd be the Cincinnati Reds, you know?
Yeah, you know, yeah, I kind of really like. It seems like they're adjusting finally and like letting their pitchers go longer. It's like they finally realize, because I learned about this a year or two ago, is the way a lot of modern baseball teams gauge their team's performance, they go in 20 game samples, you know, because that's usually like the first decent sample size you can get like analytically. So like, I wonder if they finally like looked at like their 20 game sample size and like, they're just like, hey, our bullpen actually isn't that good. We should let our starters, if they're pitching well, go further in games. And I can't, you know,
I mean, who would have thought that
I mean, I could have told you that after game 10, but you know, I mean, you gotta have the full 20.
I'm sorry, Brandon, go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, to Ed's point from earlier about Waka, he did actually throw a bullpen and is scheduled to throw a simulated game tomorrow. So there is hope in sight that Waka will be back. I know that makes Hogdale pretty excited too, being that he's the token Iowan.
Represent! Let's go!
Yeah, I believe it was, who was it? McWilliams? I forgot the writer. He said that Waka could just be on the 15-day IL, and he should be back in the 15 days, which is awesome to hear. It seems like he might be making his start next Saturday, so it will be that would end up being his after his 15-day IL set. But I did call it on the last episode. I was like, Nick Pivetta is going to shove because of the fact that he's going to be pitching inside of a dome. And as long as they have the roof shut, I thought he was going to pitch well. If you remember last year, he pitched in Tampa. I believe it was like eight innings or whatever, and or seven plus innings. And of course, you know, Matt Barnes fucking blew it, but he didn't give up a hit.
Are you saying that Nick Pivetta is the Drew Brees of baseball, and that he can only perform in a dome?
The trolling.
If that's what Drew Brees does, because I don't follow football,
it's a meme. Everyone just calls him
Dome Boy.
Calls him a dome merchant with no arm.
But I mean, my favorite game of this, I didn't get to watch the Pivetta game. So naturally, yesterday was going to be my favorite game because Dick Mountain was on the mound.
But the always fact riding that guy.
Yeah, always riding Dick Mountain.
Oh, yeah.
To the top. Fact that they let him go six plus innings yesterday, I was impressed. He didn't have it in the seventh, and they were trying to, you know, with I believe it was an 8-run lead. You know, let's see what he get, what we can get out of him. But when you give up three hits, you know, or get three runners on base, and then you give up two runs right away without getting an out, there's time to bring in somebody. Yeah. And unfortunately, you know, like I didn't like that Matt Barnes was in there. And is it sad that like we had even a 6-run lead or whatever? And I was still kind of scared bringing in Matt Barnes.
He is that bad. Like, he's approaching, I don't know, what's a shitty member of the Red Sox bullpen last year that I could pull up? Like, he's the full half. Matt Andrees, full big piece out there.
I don't know. He's a travesty. I'd probably bring Andrees in before I'd bring in Barnes right now.
Yeah. Henrys was so bad by the end.
It's weird with the bullpen right now because you kind of got a clear image of who isn't trusted based on who got to pitch in those blowouts. And it was Cutter Crawford, who's been since DFA'd. Sawamura came in for Hill initially, looked decent. Barnes and I think Diekman. So they're in the doghouse right now. But there was, in my opinion, great news for the 40-man roster. They added John Schreiber to it. Sweet son Schreiby got added to it officially. He's been probably the second best reliever in their pen, not named Matt Strom. So I'm very happy just using him with like right-handed heavy like setup situation. He's looked great.
Can we also talk about the fact that Millar brought up the Matt Barnes necklace and saying that he has one that's like $2 that his daughter made?
I was dying laughing whenever he was talking about it. He's like, yeah, he's got this diamond necklace here. It cost him thousands of dollars. My daughter makes one for $2.12. I was rolling, man. One guy that's in the doghouse that you didn't mention there, Ed, is the guy that we all know and affectionately call DFA Azure.
Well, because he's in the doghouse now. He wasn't in the doghouse at that time because he got to blow two games this week in pretty close situations.
He should have always been in the doghouse, at least on a ridiculously short leash. The only time I trust him in a game is if there's about a 50-run lead.
He looked – if you look at my trustometer for today, he dropped to 9th on it. He swapped spots with where Cutter Crawford was because
– How many spots did he drop?
He was in 5th because he went about 7 innings without giving up a run.
Too high.
Cora had been using him, and he had been steadily rising because he had been reliable for about a week.
Too high.
He's 9th now, so you got to remember who this is in comparison to, though, some other people from that. Is that a flashlight? What are you doing, Brad?
I'm raising
He's raising his hand. Go ahead.
Sox Stats made a post earlier. Brazier now has the most meltdowns in MLB this season, and he's in the first percentile in hard hit rate, second in exit velocity and expected slugging, 6th in ex-WOBA, and 7th in barrels. He's toast.
Yep, he's just gotten those innings where he was doing well, luck. At this point, he's not hitting any higher than 95 on the fastball. It's like good. I got to imagine for the hitters, it's fun. It's just like having batting practice there.
Do you think that that this could have been the effect of him getting a hit last year, hitting the head?
I hate to speculate, but I mean, maybe like that. That's something that is beyond any of our knowledge because none of us are doctors, and I don't know what kind of effect that could have. I just know that this dude sucks, and he's not been very good for a long time, and to have him 5th on a trustometer is...
Well, he's not anymore. He's 9.
Mightily irresponsible. Let's take a look at the trustometer that we have. And that's all
the greatest graphic in baseball.
The absolute best graphic in Major League Baseball.
You can buy it on a shirt, guys.
Buy the shirt. It's on a shirt
available at the Pesky Report store. Buy it now. You'll get to represent the trustometer everywhere you go. Looking at it, and I see you've got Matt Strom as the number one guy that you trust out of the pen. I don't disagree with that. He's been phenomenal this year. This one, I kind of scratch my head about because I don't think Tanner Houck has been that great out of the pen.
Everything's relative. So Houck is 4th right now. And the thing there is that I trust him more. I trust him more than any of the other people that I put behind him. That's really, it's not a compliment to Houck so much as I don't trust the people that I put behind him.
Fair. Tyler Fair. Danish has been decent, I guess. I want to know when your sweet son is going to make his full-time appearance because he's been, like you said, one of the best members that have come out of the bullpen.
Yeah, he's been really good. I'd like to see them just start giving him full innings instead of just when there are righty hitters to face. Let him see if he can do that. It's a weird arm angle for anybody to hit. You know, he doesn't have to be Darren O'Day prime, but he can be Darren O'Day light, and he can be a very effective sidearmer.
I would love that if by the time the Red Sox plane lands back in Boston, we have a tweet saying that DF Asier has officially been DFA'd and your sweet son has been recalled.
Oh no, he wasn't. He's still on. He is on the 40 man, my sweet son.
Yeah.
Yeah. He got added to it. They DFA'd Jalen Davis.
Okay. Davis. That, DFA'd.
Is it me or am I the only one that was shocked at that one?
They just brought him in pretty recently, and I think my feeling on it is that they think they can sneak him through.
Yeah, probably.
Possibly.
I mean, Brazier, DFAing Brazier might be a good idea. I mean, he does have an option left.
Just burn the entire contract. Don't even acknowledge the option. Just say, hey. Oh. Go play baseball in Japan again, guy. You're not good enough for here.
The way Alex Cora's brain works, Brazier's going to have, like, one decent outing, like, in a blowout, and he's going to go right back into putting him to high leverage spots.
I hate it. I hate it so much.
Because it's Cora's like, he's my guy. Love my guys.
I hate it so much. Yeah, so we were talking game two. Rich Hill's game. I think we all had fun in this one. The chat was very lighthearted. Everybody was having fun. We all dumped on Barnes whenever he came in because, you know, that's what we do. And it was good. It was fun. Red Sox won. 11-3 was the final. Pitching looked good. Offense looked good. All in all, a pretty good night on Saturday night. You guys have any thoughts about that game?
I'm just happy that they let Rich Hill go 6+.
Yeah.
It was nice to see. I believe how many pitches did he end up throwing? I think he threw like 90 something pitches.
It's a lot.
Yeah,
he's the
92-year-old.
He's the oldest pitcher for the Boston Red Sox to win a game since Tim Wakefield did it when he was 112.
He's nice. Only got 10 more years to go. Yeah, and he probably throws just as hard as Wakefield did too.
Yeah, Wakefield's that's what watching just... him pitch is like for me. It's it's like having Tim Wakefield back as a left-handed curveballer instead of a right-handed knuckleballer. Yeah. It's fun.
I love his arm slot. Like every time he throws, like when he throws that sidearm, like oh my god, dude!
Oh, I love that.
Like, oh,
that's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing about Rich Hill is like. He only has a couple of pitches, but he changes his arm angle with these yep. pitches, so you never really get a good read on him and what's coming. And it's coming in at 80 miles an hour, 85 miles an hour. And hitters have a hard time with that, trying to stay back because they're used to seeing, you know, 96, 98. And to sit back on an 88 mile per hour fastball is wild.
Yeah, I love weird pitchers like him or guys like, you know, Zach Greinke now in his career where, like,
yeah.
Greinke's throwing his fastball sitting, like, 87 or 88. His changeup is the same speed.
What do you think is Rich Hill's number one pitch?
Curveball?
It is curveball.
Does it say it's curveball?
Yeah, it's curveball by one pitch this year.
What's second?
Fastball.
Yeah.
And then so you got a curveball. He's thrown the curveball 175 times. He's thrown the four-seam fastball 174 times. The third pitch he's thrown 49 times, which is his slider. His changeup 19 times. And I'm not even going to say cutter or sinker.
Nick, he barely throws those. He's been fun to watch. And I'm enjoying the fact that he's – most likely going to retire a member of the Boston Red Sox.
He'll pitch next year.
You think so?
The yep. legend of Dick Mountain continues yep. to grow.
I don't think it does continue to grow.
Oh, the show stinks.
What? The show's great. What are you on about?
I'm enjoying myself.
You're telling me you don't enjoy penis jokes, Brandon?
You don't want to hear about the growth of Dick Mountain?
Speaking of penis jokes, who else caught Brad saying penis right before the opening intro play?
Like every episode.
I actually asked about that. I was like, did that go through? I was like, holy shit. That was totally out of that. Not on purpose. I was just like, penis. And,
yeah.
Dick
Mountain does. So I would like to voice a little frustration going into today's game, which was a bullpen game.
Why are we throwing a bullpen game when we had somebody who could fucking actually throw multiple innings?
It's, you know, what's fascinating, though, is that Big Fudge, who got the start, no hit for two innings. Tanner Houck threw three innings, gave up one run. They were fine. I just don't understand why you do that when you have a guy on the 40-man roster in AAA who's been, for the most part, shoving this season, and it's his day to start. I don't understand why you wouldn't just bring up Connor Siebold for it. And Siebold, who did get hammered a bit earlier in the week against Rochester, pitched one of the best games of the season at AAA, went six innings, one hit, no runs, one walk, struck out 11. He was just mowing people down left and right. He's been very good this season. ERA after that, 2.45, 36.2 innings. He's walked 10, struck out 37, a whip of 0.93. So he's averaging less than a walk or hit per inning. And I just, if you're not going to bring him up when there are four people in the rotation and you're going against a last place team like Texas, when are you going to bring the guy up? It just doesn't make any sense to me why you wouldn't have given him the spot start today.
I'm pretty sure it has to do with his options. Was he called up at all this year?
No, he hasn't been called up yet this year.
So if he got called up, that would have taken one of his options. But in fairness, you just fucking DFA fucking Brazier.
I'll say they don't need Seep. You have such great pitching options on this team, like Ryan Brazier. DF Asia. You can't get rid of him.
And Matt Barnes.
Yeah, yeah. Matt Barnes, dude. You kidding me? I gotta say that, dude, like, when I saw bullpen game, like, before the day game started, I'm like, man, we losing this one, boys.
Yeah.
This bullpen ain't good enough to have a full bullpen game.
No.
It's a shame because there are guys in the pen that have been successful this year who have looked far better than I expected them to. And you have guys like Brazier blowing two games in a week. You have Barnes and Diekman just being completely unreliable. You know, it's very frustrating.
Total shit.
To answer your question about the Connor Siebold, you know, the WooSox were in Rochester, New York, and airline tickets are pretty expensive right now. So I have a feeling that the Red Sox front office just didn't want to get on Expedia.com and purchase a ticket for him to get down to Dallas. Because, I mean, We're looking at like a $400 to $500 plane ticket there.
I mean, I'm gonna have to correct you. They are in Worcester this week and next week, but that's still probably about the same price as from Rochester. I only say that because I finally got to go to my first game this week at AAA. And God, if you guys haven't been to Worcester yet for a game, make sure you get there because it's got to be my favorite minor league stadium at this point.
I'm sure Brandon, who lives in Florida, and Ogdale, who lives in Iowa, are totally going to get some fucking.
They can do it. They can fly here. It's fine. I have seen Hogdale's helicopter. Okay, he can come up here.
I don't think he can fly with that thing.
A commercial helicopter from Family Guy.
It's the same thing as
Brandon gave to me because, you know, similarities.
From Worcester. From Worcester to Dallas is a $527 flight.
Yeah,
right
fuck
now.
That. They booked me, whatever. I get it.
Fuck that.
Put him on a fucking bus.
He wouldn't have made it in time. So buses are so slow for long distance travel. I would love to go to a game in Worcester, and hopefully I'll get the opportunity soon. If my friends Devin and Sarah are listening, please get married during baseball season so that I can have an excuse to come up and catch a game.
Actually, so I just want to give a shout out to one of our followers over in the UK. I got a message from one of the people that are part of the UK Red Sox podcast. They are coming out to see the WooSox. I believe they said in July. I'll have to double check on that one. And I'm going to try and get up there to go hang out with them.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be cool.
A game in Boston. So it'll be fun.
Yeah, like $500 plane ticket each one way.
No, me and my family are having a small vacation up there for a week and driving up there.
Oh, so you're rich.
Fuck no.
Driving. Who does that
like
nowadays?
This would be like the first trip we've taken in like 5 or 6 years.
Yeah, and you decided to take it during the time where gas is fucking like $18 a gallon.
Hell yeah. You know it, brother. You know it. We're going to see our Red Sox A's game. I think it's on like the 14th or the 15th.
Oh, boy.
So pretty crazy.
Cray cray.
Up in this his house.
So I ended up going to, you know, Ed said he went and saw the Woo Sox this weekend. I went and saw the Sea Dogs this weekend. I got to actually meet a couple of our friends of the pod. I met Nick Sogard and Cole Cottom. Awesome dudes. It was really cool to meet them. I will say, Ed, have you noticed, did you notice the difference in the size of the bags?
In the bags?
First base.
Oh, everybody. Yeah.
Like, yeah, they are, like, I didn't pay attention. I went to a game on Thursday, saw the Sea Dogs, and I went to a game for opening day. I didn't actually realize it, but Cole was taking reps at first, and I was just like, holy shit, those bags look so much bigger. And, like, they're not much bigger, actually, but it's just, like, you could tell there's a difference in the size.
Yeah, no,
Penny didn't like that either, huh?
No, she doesn't like that they're changing the sizes of it. But, no, the problem is that when Tristan Cassis is at first base, everything looks tiny. So you had to, like, wait to see the other team's first baseman there to kind of to notice that. Oh, God, he's huge in real life, though. Like, he looks big on the TV. He looks even bigger in real life. It's insane.
So last year when I saw him with the Sea Dogs, I don't remember who the coach was, but he couldn't have been much taller than I am, like 5'7", 5'8", whatever. He was standing next to Casas, and I was just like, either that guy's a fucking midget or that guy's a fucking giant.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Casas is an actual giant. And he's not just like tall, he's just broad. He just like looks like a Clydesdale that they trained to play baseball.
Dude, if I stood next to Casas, I'd look like a fucking child. And I'm 6'3". I look like an infant next to Casas.
His observation from that game. I'm sorry, Brad.
He's 6'5", 265 pounds.
Yeah, and that's pure meat. Like, he's lean.
Yeah.
No, he's a big boy. But he's also – it was really interesting getting to see some of the players there, like, not on the TV, because you notice more just like Ryan Fitzgerald, for instance – not a great fielding shortstop. He's a good fielding third baseman, I thought, but every throw that he was making just on like routine grounders were super rushed, and he was getting bailed out by Cassis on a lot of them, who's very good defensively, very good on the stretch, really just makes all the plays. I'm excited to see how he does once he gets called up to the majors there, because I think he'll be good for the rest of the infielders. I think he's much better defensively than Bobby or Franchi.
Yeah, so I got to... Now that I know who the players are and whatnot, I got to see Tyreek Reed. He was playing first base. He actually made a play. The runner was called safe because his foot wasn't on the bag, but he tagged him, and the umpire didn't see him tag him. And then they got together, and they were like, nah, he's safe. It sucks because they don't have the replay. Everybody's like, oh, call replay. And I was like, they don't do that, not in minor leagues. But it was cool. I got to see a Dave Hamilton a home run. That was cool. Sogard, he played center field on Thursday, which I thought was weird because he's an infielder. And yesterday he was playing second base. I think he's so much better at second base. I'm not saying like he's bad as an outfielder, but you could just see he's more comfortable in the infield.
Yeah. They're trying to give him reps at every position to increase his value. He seems like, now that Ryan Fitzgerald has been brought up and is like kind of on the verge of being a major leaguer, it seems like they're working Sogard into the role that Fitzgerald had last year, which is honestly really good for him to as far as his chances to make it to the big leagues. It's really, that versatility is invaluable. But I don't think he's played too much of the outfield prior to this year, so that makes sense.
Have you heard that? So I didn't ask Cole about this, but I haven't seen him playing much lately. Have you heard anything?
Cole or Fitzgerald? Who?
Cole.
He's been in the – he was DHing a bit. He's been doing just fine. He's a catcher, so he generally needs a bit more time off in between. But he's been getting in the lineup.
Yeah, both games I went to, he wasn't in. So
he played today. I think he DH'd today.
Son of a bitch. Huh. But, yeah, it was nice to finally meet people, you know, that we've had on the show. And, like I said, knowing more about the players now, and watching the teams when it comes to like double A, it makes it a little bit more fun because like you know who these people are. So,
how did Groom look? Because that was a good game he pitched. It looked like.
So fun fact. So we recorded on Thursday, and I got there at like 7:30. So the game already started, but when I got there, I went to go park, and there was literally nowhere to park. Nobody was there to fucking take my money so that I can park and whatnot. And I was like, I don't want to park here and not get one of those tickets and then get like, you know, towed or whatever. So I spent like a half an hour looking for a fucking parking spot and then finally said, screw it. And I parked in the parking lot without a ticket. And I believe he pitched into the seventh, or he pitched seven innings. I got there. I want to say it was the fourth inning. It looks good from what I saw. It sucked because they ended up losing. I believe Nails came in. He didn't look like he was Nails. he kind of looked like Brazier or DeFazer. But yeah, it was a good game. Unfortunately, it went into extra innings. The 10th inning, I was like, fuck this, I'm going home. And then by the time I got home, they were like, I found out the Yard Goats won, so.
Well, that's still a fun game to get to go to. I got to see Robinson pitch.
Yeah,
I think the pitch clock is the best thing that's happened to minor league baseball in a very long time. He was just getting the ball, throwing it, getting the ball, throwing it. He looked good. He gave up one unearned run. But he was throwing a lot more strikes, and he seemed like he had a game plan, and he was sticking to it.
I feel like going to the pitch clock, I actually feel like that's going to do a lot of good for the for Major League.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more.
PitchCom has been doing good for the people that are using it because you know you get your selection like right away while you're on your way back to the mound or whatnot. You already know what you're throwing, and it's so much faster. I know games have been cut with the Red Sox about 20 to 30 minutes sometimes. So that was nice. I think the pitch clock will help with that as well.
Yeah.
I'm still trying to learn the pitch clock. I think they start off with, 18 seconds?
Yeah, it's something like that. Then you get an automatic ball if you take too long. And I think if the batter isn't ready, it's an automatic strike or something like that.
Robert, you don't like watching Framber Valdez like rock the baby every time before he throws a pitch? Fake baseball fan. Wow.
I don't think that's Valdez. I think that's Luis, whatever it
is. Garcia? I can't tell. All of them infuriate me. I get Vietnam flashbacks to that fucking Astros series, dude. Dude's rocking the baby. I hate all of you.
We're actually facing him on Wednesday, so that's going to be a four-hour game.
No.
We're missing Verlander, though, which is good. Verlander had another shutout appearance today. He only went five innings, but Jesus Christ.
God, I wish we would have just found a way to sign him. Should have taken a flyer on him. He's been insane this year.
A $25 million flyer is not a flyer. That's
Yeah, but just sign him because he's, you know, he's worth every penny.
Can you imagine him and Rich Hill on the same team? Two of the oldest pitchers.
We have to get Tom Brady to commit a catch for them.
All I'm saying is, these pitchers that I was banging the table for in the offseason, I said the Angels did a good job getting Syndergaard. He's been great. Doesn't matter that they overpaid for him. Did they really? Because now he's shoving. And everyone said the Astros overpaid for Verlander. He's been, the second best pitcher in baseball.
Well, let me ask you on pros.
Yeah, behind Michael Walker.
Yeah,
for exactly. Who the Red Sox have signed. Most of the free agents haven't looked terrible. Like, Story's been a disappointment so far, but the pitching, Hill and Waka have both been quite good. Strom has been good.
No, I'm not saying, like, those signings were bad. I'm saying, like, they could have, you know, done more. Could have brought in, you know, a few more guys. I mean, it's even still starting, like, I would have preferred they got one of the better bullpen arms, honestly. I mean, like, I still think the biggest mistake is not getting a guy like, you know, Tapara or, you know, Graveman, Kenley Jansen, one of those guys.
Kenley Jansen, yeah.
Like, if you had one of those on top of, like, the pitchers you got, I think that would have been an A-plus offseason.
Yeah, they were one right-handed setup man or closer short, or a guy who could close. I think Graveman would have been my pick. Hindsight's 2020. They could have also ended up with a guy like Melanson who's just getting hammered. Sorry, hindsight, Ryan. Ryan Brady.
Thank you.
God damn it.
It almost seems like they are playing the long con and hoping that whenever Chris Sale and Paxton are back off the IL and are in the rotation, then they'll be able to plug some of these arms in the bullpen and be able to flush it out. Almost like they thought, oh, well, we'll come out early and our offense will carry us, but it hasn't really come to fruition.
Yeah.
You guys talking about the Houston Astros is the perfect segue into what we're talking about next, which is the Houston Astros are coming to town.
Brad. I do want to say one thing. We almost got the 26 runs I've been begging for.
It's true. We only about, what, 8 shy of what you predicted?
I think we were 7 shy.
7 shy? Yeah. Pretty close. Pretty close. Maybe lower your expectations just a tad for this offense.
I'm not going to. I'm going to call for 26 runs for this next. I
mean, we should have high expectations. This team should be like a top 10 offense minimum.
Brad's new superlative is the masochist. The Houston Astros coming to town. On game one, we have Odorizzi versus Whitlock. Whitlock got his start pushed a day so that he could be the guy that gets the ball first against the Houston Astros. What do we think about game one? How is he going to fare against the tough Houston offense?
I like that matchup because I don't think very much of Odorizzi. But... Yeah. So I think Whitlock's going to be pretty focused after his last start was a little bit of a disappointment.
Sure.
So I think that if there's a game that I would be, if I had to bet on 3 games for them to win, that would probably be the one I bet on for the Red Sox.
Okay.
seems like they're, like we said, they're finally letting starters actually pitch starter innings. And I believe in Garrett Whitlock. I think this is the game where we really see, like, why they want to move him to the rotation so much. I think he's going to go 6 innings. I think he's going to shove.
I agree with Hogdale. I think he's going to shove, but every time he shoves so far, we've lost, so I think we're going to take the all in.
It's so tragic. It's true, though.
I mean, there are a lot of things that it's like every time this happens, the Red Sox lose. Every time a member of the Pesky Report's been out of game, they lose. Every time Garrett Whitlock shoves, they lose. Every time, you know, you name it, they lose. So that's not a very good barometer to go off of. I do also think that Whitlock will shove in this game. I think he may give up 1 earned over 6 1/3 innings. I think he's going to have a good game, and I think the Red Sox could walk away the winner because, like Ed, Odorizzi doesn't really scare me.
Yeah. It's tough, though, because the Astros really are no joke. It's hilarious. They let Correa walk, and then, like, Pena's, like, just as good.
He's been fantastic.
He's been way better than expected.
Yeah.
Like, way better.
I got him on my fantasy team, you know, big W for me. Pretty huge. he's been insane. Like, one of the
best players
in the league. Day to day right now. I don't think he had to go on the IL.
Game two, we have Urquidy versus Eovaldi. Two guys with names that are difficult to pronounce.
I'm going to start this one. Ivaldi's going to shove, and we're going to win. Urquidy, he's another person, like Ed said. Like I don't think that he's. He hasn't been fantastic against the Red Sox. I think the ALCS, he wasn't all that great. And I believe Eovaldi's, like I said, he's going to shove and we're going to score runs. I'm hoping for 26 this series, guys. Please give me 26.
Runs with a Z.
Masochist Brad.
Here's the deal. Your Keady stinks. Eovaldi's a god. Sox winning this one, kid. 8-0. Book it.
Nothing, huh?
I have a soft spot for Urquidy, and Eovaldi just hasn't. He's given up a lot of home runs, and he hasn't gotten a lot of run support. I think that this is this one's going to be a disappointment. I think through no fault of Eovaldi's.
Well, if the masochist gets his wish, then the Sox need to average a little over 8.5 runs per game. So Hogdale's kind of cutting you a little short there, Brad. But I don't think the Red Sox get 8 runs in this game. I think they actually are going to slip up and lose game 2. Game 3, we have Garcia versus Nick Pivetta. And this is a game where Nick Pivetta is coming off of a great performance, so probably going to suck it up in this one. So there you go.
Absolutely fuck Garcia.
Oh, yeah.
I hate Garcia, and I don't know why. I don't know, like, why I dislike him, but, like, I see a picture, I'm like, oh, fuck, I hate that guy.
It's because he went to the David Price school of pitching, where, you know, you got to take fucking 45 seconds between every single pitch.
How about we use this to, like, time his fucking his pitches? It takes him as long as Byron Buxton runs from home to home.
That's a fair point.
It's pathetic.
But I like his hair. I like that he looks like he's like an 80s one-hit wonder, like, pop singer.
Nobody has better hair in the bigs than Gurriel. Gurriel has the absolute best hair.
Which one? I didn't say that he had the best hair. I just said I Toronto. Liked it because of how ridiculous it is.
He looks like he's got a fucking pineapple on top of his head.
I said the only best thing that that the Gurriel on the Astros is like he's the best at being a notable racist. That's pretty good for him. You know.
I think he also won a batting title. Possibly that year.
Goes right up next to, you know, like his wall. Like noted racist
won a batting title.
I think that's like nailed up to his locker.
I mean, he apologized. I don't think he's openly proud of this.
Oh my god.
He fucking tipped his fucking helmet to Darvish.
So, how do you think we fare in this series against the Astros? I could see it. I think the Sox are going to continue their momentum and they're going to win another series. I think they drop game 2. But I think games 1 and 3, Sox win. Take the series.
You want me to be serious for a moment? Or do you want me to actually, like, be positive?
Be serious.
I think they get swept.
Oh, my God.
I can say that.
Be positive.
I think they don't get swept.
Fair enough. Ed?
This is kind of a weird series for me. I can definitely understand where Brad's coming from for it. On paper, this offense is really, really good, so I don't think you can depend on the starting pitching being as ridiculous as they've been. But at the same time, I'm not that scared of the guys that they're throwing out on the mound. And it kind of has trap series potentially written on it for the Astros, where it's like, oh, it's the last place Red Sox, but they've been hitting a little better recently. They're in their home field. The weather's going to be in the 70s all week. I think that the Sox could be a little sneaky here, but I'm going to say they drop 2 out of 3 because I'm not that confident in it.
Man, imagine losing faith. They sweep! Sox are sweeping, baby. It's time. This is the point where the season gets turned around. I'm calling it now.
Aren't they only four games out of the wild card? Isn't it weird that we're fucking actually looking at that right now too?
I mean, that's kind of what Sox fans do, is we start looking at the standings in April, and the sky is falling if they're not in first place, and if they are in first place, they wonder, like, oh, yeah, we're the best team ever, World Series on, and then as soon as they slip, it's like the sky is falling immediately.
Well, I mean, so the sky is fucking falling.
It's definitely been falling now.
Yeah, it's four games.
The absolute state of the playoff picture, where this dog shit Red Sox team is like, oh, four games out of the wild card.
Good
job, Major League Baseball. Got to dilute the playoff product.
I am going to say that the offense has looked a lot better since Franchi came in, and I don't want to hype up. I don't want to like be like, oh, he's going to be the best hitter on the team. But just that they have a guy that's taking pitches and getting on base reliably when like Bobby wasn't, just adding like another bat to the lineup that like can do things. It really has made a difference. So I really wish they would just give him the job against righties and just have him run with it.
That being said, all three pitchers that we face coming up, right-handed pitchers. So viva la Franchi.
Hashtag French Revolution.
It's about to get violent.
You guys got anything else you would like to add here?
I want to hype one relief pitcher that I would like to come up to replace Ryan Brazier, who was very impressive in the one AAA game I saw. Silvino Bracho, who pitched decently for the Diamondbacks, had Tommy John surgery, Red Sox signed him. He, two perfect innings in relief, struck out four, just looked like he was just messing with their hitters the entire time. He looked good.
I've heard enough. He came back from Tommy John surgery. That's all I need to know that he's better than Brazier.
Yep. But his numbers are actually okay this year, too. He's got a 2.93 ERA, 20 strikeouts, 2 walks, and 15 and a third innings. So, AAA, but can't be worse than what we've gotten from Brazier, right? And he does one of those fun hitch deliveries where he, like, will stop for a second and then throw it. He has, like, a couple of different looks. Hits 94 on the fastball, great control. I just liked what I saw a lot.
Makes me think my Wi-Fi is messing up. Yeah. Buffering issues whenever he's pitching. Brad, got anything to add?
No, we will be back. Brady, Doink, and myself will be back on Thursday after the game.
Hogdale?
Yeah, I'm really excited to hear like what creative way Ryan Brady will, you know, find a way to insult Matt Barnes. You know, he really gets creative, and that's what I love about him. It'll be fun to hear him get another variant of insult.
You know, it is going to be a sad day when Matt Barnes is no longer a member of the Boston Red Sox, because we won't have that aspect of Ryan Brady.
I think we will.
That hate boner will never go away.
Nope.
But it won't be as relevant. If he's not on the team, we won't, you know, we won't entertain it as much, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
It'll probably be just like Sox fans talking shit about Richards and oh, that's the Richards we know.
That's the fair point. Fair point. If he finds a job elsewhere in Major League Baseball.
Can you imagine if he signs with the Yankees?
Oh, Barnes? I would love it.
Barnes, yeah, if he goes to the Yankees. Please after do. Boston.
Our luck, though, he would go to the Yankees and then find himself there and become like God mode Barnes from the first half of last season, and he would just torture us all the time.
Yeah, if he went to like the Rays, I could believe it because of their cheating lab. They have the best cheating lab in the game. It's them and the Giants. Their lab is unmatched.
They inject their pitchers with like Nolan Ryan's DNA. They have to, right? They do something down there in Tampa. Anyway, we'll get to the bottom of that and we'll figure it out. We'll report back on that on Thursday whenever Brad, Doink, and Brady are on here. And we'll see you guys then. Thanks for watching. Peace. Dennis. I knew you were going to say that.
What?
Thanks for watching. Make sure to follow us on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook at Pesky Report. Make sure to like, subscribe, and leave a review.
thank you for listening to this Belly Up Sports Podcast Network product. Some said we go belly up, so we made it our name, and we're still here.